A woman accompanied her husband into the doctor's surgery. After the husband's checkup, the doctor called the wife into his office alone. He said, "Your husband is suffering from a very serious condition which is aggravated by stress. If you don't do what I say, he could die. Each morning you need to make him a healthy breakfast. Be pleasant and make sure that he is always in a good mood. For lunch, provide him with a light, nutritious meal. For dinner, prepare an especially nice one, perhaps one of his favourite dishes. Don't burden him with chores or demanding requests, and don't discuss your stress or anxieties with him. It will only make him feel worse. If you can do this for at least 10 months to a year, I think that your husband might fully regain his health." On their way home, the husband asks his wife, "So what did the doctor say to you, darling?" The wife said, "You're going to die." To love someone can sometimes be a very hard thing to do, and yet is perhaps the most important thing we as human beings can do. And so in this sermon, I want to explore our ultimate vocation, to be a people of love, made in the image of God who is love, a people who love and give of ourselves even when it's the most difficult thing to do. We thirst for love above everything and anything else. Or as one writer states, we are born for love. It is the principle of existence and its only end. Much of what we do, the way we make ourselves look, the people we seek to spend time with, the affirmation and acknowledgement we seek at work, in our leisure time, springs from a desire to be valued, accepted, wanted, loved. Love is so important to human beings that Christ's last commandment to his disciples in John's Gospel, sometimes known as his farewell commandment, is that we should love one another. This, you may say, is nothing new. After all, the Old Testament tells God's people to love their neighbor as themselves. But Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." There is nothing new about the commandment to love. What is new is the quality and depth of that love. We are to love one another as Christ has loved us. All who claim to follow Christ are to look to his life, his whole way and manner of being, and find in it a pattern, a shape, an example of what love really is. How then did Christ love? What is the example he calls us to follow? Well, firstly, Jesus loved freely. His love was always about the other person and not himself. It was about giving rather than taking. Christ gave of himself so that others might live. He paid the cost rather than demanding a cost from those he came to love. So often, our love is given at a price. We love in the expectation of receiving something back in return. The love we give can more often be about our happiness rather than another person's. Jesus commands us to love freely, to love others for their own sake rather than for what we might get out of it. He also commands us to love sacrificially. Jesus puts no limits on his love. He wasn't always counting the cost. His first action was to empty himself of all heavenly majesty and splendor and to come to earth to love us. His last action was to die on a cross in agony in love of us. Between these two events, he spent time loving anyone and everyone he met, including those who others would have nothing to do with, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the adulterers and lepers. He loved those who betrayed him. He even loved those who nailed him to a cross. There were no limits to those he loved. So often, We can be selective in those we choose to love. We love only those who will love us in return or fall within our categories of acceptability. And so often, we limit our love. Jesus calls us to love sacrificially, without counting the cost or setting limits to who and how much we are prepared to love. And finally, Jesus loved intimately. He treated each person he came into contact with as a unique individual. He listened to them, found out their needs, their hopes and fears, and dealt with them accordingly. How often do we take the time to get to know people for who they really are? How often do we give time to simply listen to others and to be with others in love? To understand them and their point of view, rather than simply trying to get across our own. Jesus loved freely, sacrificially, and intimately. And these are the characteristics that our love should display if we seek to love as Christ loved us. But how are we to love like this? Anyone who has tried to love someone else will know that loving someone is not an easy thing to do. How then are we supposed to love everyone as Christ loved them, freely, sacrificially, intimately? After telling the disciples to love one another as he loved them, Jesus also repeatedly tells them about the coming of the Holy Spirit into their lives. As Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit at work in a person's life is the growth of joy, peace, patience, kindness, and the other wonderful qualities. But above all, it is by the growth of love that we know that the Spirit's at work in a person's life. Another name for the Holy Spirit is the Helper. God does not leave us to love like Christ in our own strength. As we follow Christ, so he gives us his Holy Spirit to help us love as Christ loved, to help us grow in the image and likeness of Christ. But perhaps it's more important to ask why rather than how. Why do we have to love like this when it's such a hard thing to do? Well, I wonder if you've ever seen the film Whistle Down the Wind with Hayley Mills in. At the beginning, there's a scene where the children go into a barn and there's a big sort of haystack, and on that haystack there's a dropout, a drunk sleeping off the wares of alcohol. And the children gather around him and start muttering, wondering who he might be. And as they talk about him, he wakes up and he exclaims Jesus Christ as a swear word because he's jumped. But the children thinks that is who he is because that's the name he's given. And so however obnoxious this man is, and he is very obnoxious, however angry, however he steals and cheats and treats everyone badly, those children keep on loving him, keep on being polite to him and involving him and caring for him and risking themselves to protect him. And gradually that love completely changes him and transforms him. That's why we're called to love. Those children loved that dropout freely, sacrificially, and intimately. And it was a love that completely and absolutely transformed that man's life. When we love as Christ loved, people's lives will be changed. And especially in this day and age, where more and more people are crying out simply to be loved in a world which is increasingly being starved of love and demands a price for such love. If you look like this, if you have this, if you can do this, then I'll love you, rather than loving freely, just because you're a person made in the image of God, and that's enough. I love you because of that. When we love as Christ loved, people's lives will be changed, because when we love like that, we will be revealing to the world something of Christ. And when Christ is revealed, the world cannot resist. The Christ that can bring new life, new hope, new healing, and new wholeness into any and every situation, even to a wife who has to try extra hard to love her husband for a whole year. Amen.